Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. Ron, thanks for being here once again.
I enjoy being here, and I'm happy about this particular portion. It's one that, since it was released 20 years ago, has been a great enlightening and supplying to me. So I'm particularly joyed to fellowship here.
Well, we are in chapter 6 now, the last chapter of this book of Galatians. At the end of chapter 5, the Apostle Paul gives the charge for all of the believers to walk by the Spirit. Today, in chapter 6, it somewhat continues his charge, but now incorporates the matter of sowing and reaping. These two things are not so unrelated, are they?
No, they are intricately related. And one way to point out this relationship is to observe the meaning of the word walk, to walk in spirit. To walk by the Spirit or to walk in the Spirit is to have our whole being, our whole living in the Spirit. So this matter of walk implies the totality of our life. Now we come to sowing. We may think that sowing is limited to deliberate acts of planting seed, but that's not the case in the Christian life. Actually, our walking is our sowing, and our sowing is our walking. And we sow by the way we walk. If we are living in the flesh, practically speaking, then we're sowing with a view to the flesh. But if we're living and walking in the Spirit, then everything we do is a sowing unto the Spirit. So let's say that one is driving his car on the freeway. If you are driving the car in the Spirit, you're one with the Lord, then the way you handle the vehicle, the way you relate to other drivers, that's going to be a kind of sowing. And that's going to have an impression, make an impression on those in your car. But let's suppose one is in the flesh, and then right in that instance, one is not living Christ, one is not in the Spirit, then that's not only a behavior in driving, that also becomes a sowing. So this is a very compelling matter. To me, it's one of the most convicting and enlightening principles in the New Testament, that everything we do is a sowing, either to the flesh or to the Spirit. But on the positive side, to walk by the Spirit is to sow unto the Spirit. And that's what we want. We want to live this way. We want to walk this way. We want to sow this way to reap life and not corruption.
Well, this matter of sowing and reaping is introduced in the first 10 verses, which are really the focus of the life study message today. There's a couple of other matters also incorporated into these first 10 verses, and this first section is going to have Witness Lee giving us a little overview and touching two or three things. Let's join him now, and then you and I will return.
Continues to give us a few points developing this work by the Spirit. We just put three things together in these 10 verses. How to restore the overtaken one, or the fallen one. How to fulfill the law of Christ, and how to sow. Verse 1 says, if every man is overtaken in some offense, you who are spiritual. What is to be spiritual? That is to walk by the Spirit. To be spiritual is to be one who walks in his or her spirit, by the Spirit. Then it says, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. The source must be the Spirit. here doesn't refer to the Spirit, but to our spirit. The Spirit is in our spirit. We must be walking in the Spirit. Then we restore the fallen brother in our spirit. Then the second point, how to fulfill the law of Christ. The law of love, which is the law of Christ, must be the law of life. Love is the expression. Life is the real substance. The real love must be one that comes out of life. 1 Corinthians 13. Love there is the expression of life. So the law of Christ, which is the law of love, must be substantiated by the divine life. So this is the law of life, which is always to bear one another's burden. It is by these we fulfill the law of Christ. Now we come to how to sow the seed. This word is very mysterious. Our Christian life is just a life that sows something every day. When you study the school, you are sowing there. When you do a business, you are sowing something there. When the elders are taking care of the church, they are sowing something here. When we minister the word, we are sowing. Whatever we do, we are sowing. Even as a wife in your family, whatever you do, you are sowing something. The husband, the same thing. The parents, even you express your attitude. Your attitude is a seed. So here, Paul picks up a principle of our daily walk. The Christian walk must be walked by the Spirit. And you have to realize our daily walk is just a sowing life. Paul, no doubt, his wisdom is marvelous. Otherwise, he could never write such kind of a paragraph. You look into these verses, how many crucial points are all covered here.
Well, Ron, though the speaking that we just heard by Witness Lee touched on these particular points in the first 10 verses of the chapter, I'd like to spend our time in our few minutes together here really looking at the middle point, dealing with the law of Christ. The other day, you and I were together visiting on one of our broadcasts about some of the similarities between the book of Romans and the book of Galatians, both, of course, written by the Apostle Paul. And in this word that Witness Lee just spoke, he made reference to the law of life that Paul introduced in Romans chapter 8. Now, Paul has spent the first five chapters or so in Galatians really rescuing these Galatian believers from their attachment to the law of the Old Testament, only now to exhort them to fulfill the law of Christ. Ron, three-part question, I guess. What is the law of Christ? How do we fulfill it? And what is the relationship, if there is one, between that and the law of the Spirit of life in Romans?
We agree with the basic teaching that the law of Christ first refers to his teaching, his new commandment, that we love one another. Now, this law is fulfilled by living Christ according to the law of the Spirit of life, which operates in Christ. So we need to recognize that we fulfill the law of Christ by being in the Spirit, by living according to the life of God, which is the source of the law of Christ, and that it's a spontaneous outflow of being in the Spirit, enjoying eternal life. That the fact that it's a law indicates a fixed principle, you know, like gravity, that it's a law of Christ's being to love. He is love. God is love. The Bible talks about the love of God, the love of Christ, the love of the Spirit. that God himself is love. Love is God's essence. And so to love is the law of God's own being. So to fulfill the law of Christ to love others is not by our striving to do this. It's by being in the Lord and having the Lord in us, letting him live in us according to his life and nature. When we do all these things, then spontaneously, Christ lives in us by law, by a spontaneous automatic principle, to love others. We love God, we love the brothers, we love the unbelievers, and we love our enemies. We love everybody by law, not by effort, by spontaneous principle, not by straining in ourselves to fulfill a requirement.
I really appreciate that last point, Ron. Paul could have given us a much more simplified exhortation to love one another or love one another in Christ, but he is not careless, and certainly the Holy Spirit not careless in the selection and use of these words, fulfill the law of Christ. It does prod us to look deeper. Let's go back to Witness Lee, Ron.
They who are of Christ have crucified the flesh on the cross with its passions and lust. The flesh is there, and we shouldn't still do things, say things, express our attitude in our flesh. We shouldn't be there, no more there. And we are now in the heavenlies. We should sow the seed according to the Spirit. And this means when you say something to your children, you have to realize whatever you say, that is the seed. And your saying is the sowing. You must have the assurance that whatever you say is according to the Spirit. Otherwise, whatever you say to your children is according to your flesh, even your attitude. You may express your attitude in the way to sow a seed according to the flesh. Or you may express an attitude according to the Spirit. Don't express some of your opinions. Your opinions might be just seed according to flesh. Whatever you say, that is the seed. You must have the assurance that that is a seed according to the Spirit. Amen. If we would live this way, many troubles in the church life, many troubles in the home life, and many troubles in the sister's house, brother's house, will be just diminished. Spontaneously, the troubles will be gone. You know, all the troubles come from where? Just from our sowing, the fleshly seed. Oh, we joke a little bit. We criticize a little bit. We gossip a little bit. We express our opinion a little bit. You have to know, not many seeds are big things. Nearly all the seeds are small things. I never saw the farmers sow a seed 1 foot diameter. You just consider daily, daily, day after day, how many small seeds have you sown? The principle is this, dear ones, that whatever we say, whatever we do, we must have the assurance that is a seed of the Spirit. If we sow anything into the flesh, we will reap the seed. You reap whatever you sow.
Ron, in verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." I thought that Witness Lee speaking here was very penetrating, and you made this point earlier, that all we do and all we say particularly is a kind of sowing, either to the flesh or to the Spirit. And sowing is always followed by reaping. Let's talk about this irrevocable principle of sowing and reaping.
Here I would want to emphasize that there's no escape from this principle. God designed the universe to function this way. We live in an environment that operates this way. It's not a matter of whether we like it or don't, or agree or don't. This is a fixed principle of life. We reap what we sow. You don't sow one kind of seed and reap a different kind of crop. You don't sow barley and reap wheat. You sow barley, eventually you reap barley. But we may have a peculiar way of thinking, hoping to reap something that is not commensurate with what we sow. And so there are a couple matters here. One is, we will always reap according to what we sow. An even more basic matter is, we will always reap if we sow. So we shouldn't think, well, okay, I did some sowing here, but forget about it. We just ask the Lord to forgive me. Well, you will be forgiven, but there's still some issue. You know, David was forgiven of his great sin also, but there was a sowing there, and he had to reap what he sowed. So we should not confuse being forgiven for wrongful sowing with the suspension of the law of sowing and reaping, that if we sow, we will reap. And what we reap is determined by what we sow. Many believers may regard the Christian life as following certain rules. Well, there are, you could say, commandments in the New Testament, but fundamentally, the Christian life is a Christian life. It's a life, and life is organic. And once we see this, then we can go the next step to realize there are organic principles governing our life. And a major one is sowing and reaping. So how we need to be enlightened, even how we need to repent under the Lord's enlightening of how we've sown and how we lived in the past, and how many things have come to us as the reaping of what we have sown. On the other hand, there is a gloriously positive side to this. We can sow unto the Spirit, and eventually we will reap from the Spirit eternal life. Since we cannot avoid sowing, let's all learn by the Lord's grace to sow unto the Spirit and reap a bountiful crop of eternal life.
Well, Ron, I sense we have really come to the heart of this speaking today, this message today, and perhaps the heart of the Lord's burden in this word. We're going to stay with this topic in this final portion. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
God is not mocked. Don't be led astray. Be honest and be faithful and be sincere to check, what are you sowing? What are you sowing? If you are playing politics day after day, night after night, you are sowing seed of corruption. If I minister according to the flesh, I sow the seed of the flesh. Be sure sometime later I will reap the corruption of the flesh. If I minister according to the Spirit, I sow the seed of the Spirit. No doubt, year after year, hallelujah, I have a lot of life eternal to reap in everything. Even the fellowship among the brothers and sisters, we must learn not to sow any seed according to our flesh. We must sow every seed into the Spirit. Don't love any brother in the flesh. You must love the brothers in the Spirit. If you love the brothers, no need to say hate, to hate, even to love. If you love the brothers according to flesh, you'll be ready. You'll be ready. After a certain period of time, lots of corruptions you will reap out of your fleshly love. You must learn to love unto the Spirit. If you love unto the Spirit, day after day, something is growing there. Something is growing unto life eternal. So you will reap life. look at some senior sisters and brothers. Years and years they've been sowing their love unto the Spirit. And now they are reaping alive eternal. But look at some others. They've been sowing here just a few years. Eventually, what they have reaped? Corruption. They corrupted others, and they corrupted themselves. They damaged others' church life. They damaged also their own church life. I'm not speaking this lightly. To sow the seed unto flesh, this seed always grows quite fast. The worst life always grows fast. In the animal life, in the plant life, all the same. In my yard, we have some magnolia tree. You know, they grow so slowly. We have some other trees which are not so precious. They grow quite fast. If you sow something into the flesh right away, it grows up. You will reap. But if you sow something into the Spirit, it grows slowly. So Paul says, we must not lose our heart. We must not faint. Be patient, like the farmers. The reaping time will come eventually, at the due time. The more precious things you sow, the longer time it will take to grow. So then, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all men, and especially to those of the household of the faith. The household of the faith is God's children, the heirs of promise.
Ron, I don't think that one has to grow up on a farm to relate to this point. Every backyard gardener also knows that plants of the greatest beauty and the greatest value always take the longest to grow. I think that helps us better understand verse 9. Let us not lose heart, for in due time or in the proper season, we will reap if we do not faint.
I don't think anyone has seen a sequoia tree that grew faster than a dandelion or a mushroom. The lower life forms, or the negative expressions of life like weeds, they thrive quicker. They grow faster. You see the results much sooner. So you don't need a lot of patience. You don't need forbearance in waiting to see the result of that kind of sowing. But if we're sowing unto the Spirit, involved with the highest life, with the highest expression, we will wait a good while in many instances before we see the positive issue of that kind of sowing. If we see this and persist in sowing unto the Spirit, we'll recognize that we need to face the weakness in our natural life to grow weary. So while we're sowing unto the Spirit, we need the Lord to develop our faith. We need the Lord to be our endurance, our strength, our energy. And when we don't see any result, we should be able to exercise and stand on the Word of God and say, I don't see anything. I don't need to see anything. I don't feel anything. I don't need to feel anything. I stand on God's Word. I am engaged in the highest sowing, the sowing unto the Spirit. And I believe God's Word, that of the Spirit and from the Spirit, I shall reap eternal life. So let's sow to the Spirit, not be weary, and reap eternal life.
Well, Ron, I think all of us here associated with Life Study of the Bible, the radio version, are aware that there are a lot of other programs, I think, on the air that may offer, more instant, gratifying, easier words to swallow. Sometimes what we're putting forth requires some focus, some concentration, frankly, some effort to really get into it. We are aware of that. But the kind of responses we get back are confirming that that is of value and of eternal value especially is worth the time and the wait. We're appreciative to our listeners who have taken the real time and effort to dive into these messages as well. Let me just point out quickly that we'd like to offer you the Life Study printed messages that come with these broadcasts, and this is volume number 2 that we're currently in. So please contact us if you're interested in that. Thank you for being with us today. I'd like to thank Ron Kangas once again for joining us. I'm Chris Wild, and thank you very much again for listening.